One of the key things that we found out from science is that you should do small actions, micro resolutions, baby steps, whatever you call it.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I am so, so stoked to be having these live podcast episodes at Slush, one of the most epic conferences in Scandinavia. I swear, it's like the South by Southwest takeover. Like, I can't decide which one is crazier, South by in Austin or Slush in Helsinki, but it's definitely worth coming to. I know that I traveled here, and it seems like the rest of LA Tech seems to be here as well. But right now I have an incredible woman in tech for you, and I'm so excited to share her story. Nelly, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your company.
Cool. So hello everyone, my name is Nelly Lahtenmäki. I'm the CEO co-founder of You App, and I'm an engineer by background. My father was a doctor, so I guess the combination of which became my startup adventure. So with You App, we want to help people live happier and healthier through small actions we call micro actions. It's a social well-being app that gives you micro actions that you can complete with a picture, then share it within the community, and that's how it works.
So your company is all about micro actions for happiness. What does that mean?
So micro action is like the smallest unit of action you can come up with. It's not just our idea. It actually comes from science, because we work with psychologists and neuroscientists and ask them, like, how can we help people with sustainable positive behavior change?
I love this. Like, I'm freaking out in my head. This is so cool.
Awesome. One of the key things that we found out from science is that you should do small actions, micro resolutions, baby steps, whatever you call it. But small things, small actions, you know, versus huge resolutions. So micro actions can be anything from doing a 2-minute workout, like 2-minute plank or two minutes of squats, to 5 minutes of just sitting down and listening to your breathing, or, you know, reaching out to a friend you haven't reached out for a little while. Like, all of these little things that you can do to kind of boost your health and happiness.
Why were you the person to make this happen? What about your history makes you the right leader to take this type of company forward?
Well, my previous startup, we sort of had the similar vision of helping people live happier and healthier. The reason we, you know, chose this vision is because if we look at the world and about the healthcare and health systems of the world, it's kind of broken, right? If you look at healthcare as such, it's all geared around curing diseases.
Right.
And putting down the fires when the fire is on.
Right.
Whereas we should be putting 100 times more resources into the prevention side. But today, the healthcare system is not geared around that. So
definitely not in America.
Yeah. And in Finland, it's a little bit better, but it's not there yet.
Right,
you know, doctors are not educated to help us, you know, live a healthier, happier life.
Right.
They are educated to help us cure diseases. But anyway, so with my previous startup, we wanted to help people live happier and healthier by giving them more personalized recommendations. Mm-hmm. And we would create those recommendations based on their data from different sensors and trackers and Fitbits, all the way down to their genetic data. And this is all exciting and mind-boggling.
Right.
But what we found out is that no matter how personalized the recommendation is, it's worth zero if the person doesn't take action on it. So, like, how can we help people actually bridge the gap between intention of doing something and actually taking action on something?
Right.
And that's where we pivoted with the last company, which eventually led us to founding this new company, because we found out that we all need help with behavior change. We are kind of prisoners of our habits, both good habits and bad habits. So we need help and a little bit of like positive, gentle hand-holding and
totally
the support
agree.
of the community in order to pull it off. So that's why we founded this company. And obviously, I have the privilege to be the CEO and co-founder, but I also have fantastic co-founders and team, together which we've been thinking about these things and working with scientists in order to crack this.
And what role do you play? I mean, I know you're the co-founder and CEO, but what do you do, like, day to day?
Yeah,
so and has that changed since the beginning?
Yes, I guess it's somewhat similar and somewhat it has changed. For example, for the past, months, I've been focused on hiring. So I've been kind of recruiting a growth hacker to us and head of product. So that's been like, because that's very time consuming. I've also been focused on the investor relationship and media relationship and some of that stuff. So that's been kind of the focus for the past months, obviously doing strategy with the rest of the team. But I guess it very much depends on the different phases, because when you're, pre-launch, it's like all kinds of things happening. You're kind of, you have prototypes and you're doing user tests. And that's where the whole company, the whole team is geared around figuring out if what we're doing makes sense.
Right.
If this responds to the need of the market, if this creates value for the users. And then as we proceed, all of a sudden you launch the product and up you're in the market, and then you're supposed to grow. And then at some point you need more money, you need more investors. So you kind of, transform the role as you go. I guess some of my most important things have been the fundraising and the investor relationship, as well as some, obviously the company strategy together with the rest of the team.
What are some suggestions you could give the people listening right now to fundraise? Like, what are some like basic tips? How much, if you don't mind me asking, how much money have you raised over your career?
So we've raised to this very company, we've raised around in US dollars something like 850,000 so far.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how long did that take?
So we've raised it in a couple of different batches, so not all at once, but I would always say that reserve 2 or 3 times more time to the fundraising that you assume it's going to take.
It's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, because it's, so 500 Startups is one of our investors, and they always say that I remember the ratio, but it was something like, in order to get 3 investments, you have to meet 50 investors or something like that. The ratios are pretty crazy. And it's almost like the work of a salesman or saleswoman. you have to learn to get get you to the no's, because you'll get a lot of no's and yes, we kind of like it, but no.
Right.
But then you just have to keep pushing, regardless. And eventually you will find the people who...
You'll find a yes.
You'll find yeses.
Yeah.
And that might lead to other yeses.
Totally.
But it takes, perseverance for sure.
My mom says every no brings you one step closer to a yes.
That's awesome. That's exactly what it is. Because you can actually you're so right, because every time you hear a no, I try to ask so why no? Like, what are the reasons?
Yeah,
what are the
it's a great
pieces?
Learning opportunity,
exactly.
right?
Tell
if someone
me.
Says no, it's my friend Scott actually gave me a great suggestion once. He owns a company it was called Hook It. I don't know if it's still called Hook It, but he said he's raised a lot of money. He says always ask what is missing that would make you not want to invest, or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, find out. And then it's like you're picking up little cookie crumbs along the way.
That's so true.
And then when you get to the final place, then you can combat everybody's obstacle before they even say it. And then you'll have complete control over the conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is so, so true. And it's interesting because different investors have different points of view. So like you said, you kind of, you get the full picture together from these little pieces. And sometimes it might be something that, we're not sure about the vision, or we're not sure about the business model, or it can be something like, your numbers should be here.
Yeah.
And these are such valuable pieces of information. Yeah.
And not everybody is going to be honest, of course, all the time. The person you're asking for advice, they may think that you don't actually want the critique. So just insist, like, yes. If you just even say the word, right? It's like, I would really love this opportunity to grow. If you would be so generous and share with me, what was it about the conversation, the deal that didn't work, so that I can work on myself or something.
Exactly. That is,
and then
so
how
true.
Can someone not want to help you then?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they'll be like, wait, this person's really coachable. Maybe we should invest in them.
Exactly. Yeah. And then another piece of advice is to, you know, be persistent. Sometimes, even though you've some of our investors first said no, but I kind of kept,
following up.
And then eventually they said yes. Yeah. Like, you know, now we cannot help, you know, but to invest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And how do you overcome obstacles?
That's a really good question. Because I'm a pretty social person. If I have a, you know, burning question or an obstacle or challenge, what I usually do is that I reach out to, you know, some fellow founders or fellow CEOs who, you know, have more experience, who have probably been in the same situation that I have been, and just have a brutally honest conversation. Like, listen, this is my problem. What do you think? How should I approach this? Is this normal?
Right.
Like, all of these questions. Yeah. But it's not easy to open up, like, some of the most difficult, you know, questions to people. But it is so true, so important. And I think that's something that at least, like, Finnish startup ecosystem has learned from, you know, for example, the startup ecosystems of the US.
Yeah.
Because there, what I've felt is that people help forward. Like, you know, somebody has helped you, so you help somebody else, and they help somebody else again.
Right.
So it's not necessarily transactional. Like, you know, I help you, you help me. No, it's like something like that, like the culture of giving forward. And I think slowly but surely that culture has always also landed in Finland, and that makes all the difference, that we can actually, you know, somebody has helped me on some things, on some particular, say, you know, raising public funding, which is possible in Finland, like, and I know something about that, so I can help somebody with that, but then somebody else can help me with, say, raising Series A.
Right. So, who has your mentor been?
Well, some of, like, these a bit more experienced startup entrepreneurs from Finland. One of them is actually lives in the US, in the Silicon Valley. He's...
Are you able to share who it is?
Well, one guy that I... like, actually, he's my former boss. I can tell it. Like, this guy called Martin Mikos, who also has a fabulous blog called The School of Herring. So the fish.
Can you spell it for us?
The School of Herring. So and Martin Mikos is M-A-R... T-E-N, and then Mikos, M-I-C-K-O-S. That's all right.
And we'll look it up and we'll put it in Martin the show notes. Mikos. And School of Herring, Herring is like H-E-R-R-I-N-G.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's brilliant. And he was my CEO when I was working for Eucalyptus Systems in San Francisco, right before founding the first company that made me move back to Finland. But for example, Martin is... you know, such a wise, experienced startup CEO, and he's seen so many different situations that he has that perspective that you necessarily don't.
Right.
And having those kinds of, you know, amazing people, you know, to whom I can always, you know, ask a question from is absolutely
100%.
Exactly. And I think that's something that even though, like, the, you know, the entrepreneurs in the US, actually, I think you guys do it a little bit better than we do, actually. Like some of my friends have like dozens of mentors like that, and that's awesome. And I think the rest of the mentors that I have here are more like kind of fellow CEOs who are about the same age, about the same experience levels.
Totally.
Obviously, everybody has a different story and different experiences, so we can learn still a lot from each other.
Who's a woman in tech that really inspires you?
Well, there are a couple of ones. There are some, you know, fellow entrepreneurs here in Finland, like Katariina Rantanen, the CEO co-founder of Cosmetics, this wonderful app that tracks, you know, the harmful chemicals in the cosmetics.
Is it Cosmetics with a K or a C?
C,
with a C? And do you know the URL by chance?
The cosmetics.com, I think, or something
cosmetics.com.
Like,
wow. Yeah, that's, what a URL.
Like something like that. I think that's what they have.
Say her name one more time.
So Katariina Rantanen.
Okay.
And one of these.
You guys will look it up and we'll make sure you have her Twitter and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, like people like her, or, you know, another awesome Finnish lady that I've, you know, admire her work and her passion is Linda Liukas, who's also a speaker here at Slush, who's the creator of Hello Ruby and these kind of, you know, coding schools, right, for kids, and coding books for kids, like these kinds of ladies. And then there's some ladies like in the US that I really like, and I love their, you know, their passion and thinking, like Elizabeth Yin from 500 Startups,
right,
and who are also our investors. So you know, people like that are, you know, needed. But we need more awesome female, you know, female entrepreneurs, you know, to look up to. They're not, obviously there are some like more experienced VCs,
right,
you know,
right,
who are female. But, you know, with regards to female CEOs, we should just, and founders, we should just have like tons of more of them.
What would you suggest as a resource for someone looking to enter into the tech world, or even accelerate their growth in the tech world? Mm. Like, is there a particular place they should go to form a better network, a website, or is there a school program that you recommend? Like, I know you just talked about Hello Ruby.
Yeah.
Like, something to accelerate within the field of tech.
That's a really good question. I think, like, if you are in Europe, I think all the major cities have some kind of entrepreneurship societies. We have the Aalto Entrepreneurship Society here in the metropolitan area of
What's
Helsinki.
It called?
Aalto, which is the Aalto Entrepreneurship Society, or Aaltos.
Okay. And it is that Aaltos?
Aalto is
you know what? You know what, you guys? She'll send me all the links, yes, and we'll have it in the show notes.
Yes,
so you can look it up. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, but spelling in English for Finnish person is not always easy when
Listen,
you're doing it live.
I have a paranoia about all of your names. Like, I cannot pronounce anybody's name at all. And then one of my new friends said, "Oh, just call me Andy." I was like, "I will not do that. I have to call you your real name, but it's going to take a while to pronounce it."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly like that. But also, like, if you are wherever in the world, like, I remember when I had just, you know, founded the first company, Health Puzzle, kind of the predecessor of UApp. I was listening to a lot of podcasts, like, you know, the Stanford E. Carner, like, you know, the entrepreneurship stories from the founders of the most successful startups.
That's amazing.
Like even though that's like a podcast like this you know, I would probably listen to this one. Hopefully these will be of help. There's a lot of information out there, and obviously, like, getting to that mindset is super important. Like, that's why podcasts are so good, because you hear the voices, you hear the stories of founders, and you kind of get a sense of the energy level that they have, and it's inspiring.
100%.
Yeah, of course you can then read some books and they're like all of that, but then I think the best thing is to just go to places where there are a lot of entrepreneurs, and that's just expose yourself to the environment.
Awesome.
And obviously LA, San Francisco, they're like the best hubs in the world.
Yeah, but then we have, you know, people living in small towns in Minnesota or Idaho,
true,
or, you know, maybe they're in Bratislava.
Exactly.
And, like,
or in freaking Finland, which is far from everything. Luckily, we now have the booming thing here, but...
But you do have this huge conference here.
That is true.
And you have a great entrepreneurial network. Tell me a little bit about Slush. Why is Slush this amazing event that we're at important to you?
So I think Slush is important at so many levels. I think for every entrepreneur, especially the Finnish entrepreneurs here, like, we are, like, deeply proud of Slush, because maybe you're familiar with the concept, but it's completely run by volunteers. So this is a non-profit running this whole show, and it looks amazing.
It's amazing. It's the most well-organized, highly produced. You guys, there's fire pits. Like, there's fire pits on the stage. It's highly produced, and the colors, the atmosphere, like, the sitting tables have, like, old electronic boards, like, inside the table, so it looks like you're looking on the inside of a phone or a radio.
And I think the spirit is so important. It's something that I think... So there are 2,300 volunteers in this event. Like, and there were, like, I think many times fold applicants to be volunteers in this event. So people want to help. And also, whether you are an investor or an entrepreneur, like, when Slush people ask, you know, can you help? Or they actually, these people, they themselves ask, how can I help?
Right.
Like, everybody wants to help. So there are people, fellow entrepreneurs, you know, interviewing people on stages, or I had the chance to speak to all the 2,300 volunteers at the Volunteers Day and kind of give some training, obviously being one of the volunteers there. And that's what we're kind of, we're doing this together because this is kind of important for all of us that this works, and we're so proud that so many people from abroad are coming here, like you.
Yeah,
and your
crazy.
You know, fellow LA people and people from San Francisco. Like, this
makes us
so
proud. I know, I was watching Chris Sacca speak earlier today. He's one of my favorite investors, business people. He's amazing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's been really exciting. How has Slush been supportive of the women in tech community?
Well, I think very well. I think, like, in Finland, I'm not sure about the figures. Like, we still, you know, I think it's a global problem. We should have much more female founders. But I think Slush has always been, you know, supportive. I think we have, nowadays, we also have a great panel with, you know, discussing the importance of diversity from many angles. And I don't know, like, it's a good question. Like, we do have, I think we have a, you know, more and more of these kind of like female friendly startup, because it's so funny to think about this, because of course I'm a female entrepreneur, but I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know what I'm mean? The same. I don't identify as a female founder. I identify just as a founder.
Yeah.
Speaking of it, the Chris Sacca was so cool. So when he gave his talk, I was at the one in the speaker studio, and he refused to get off the stage. Not kidding. The person to the side was like, you have to get off the stage now. He's like, no, I will not until I have at least two women are able to ask me questions. I will not only take questions from guys.
I love it.
And they're like, no, you're late. You have to go. And he's like, the world won't blow up. I'm taking these questions. And then these two girls asked questions, and then he left. But I've never seen anyone care so much. And he went on to rave about his Tala. There's this company, Tala. I don't know much about it, but he was raving about the female founder. I think her name is Shanti. Shanti, if it's not Shanti. Shivani? I don't know. I can't remember because I literally just discovered them today. They happen to be based, their headquarters in Santa Monica.
Whoa.
So how I had to come to Finland to find out about a company a few blocks away,
funny.
I don't know.
That's hilarious.
But he just raves about how well run it is, the company. It's one of his portfolio companies with his firm, and how dynamic women in tech are as leaders. And it was just really moving to see someone so genuinely enthusiastic and proactive about humans.
Exactly.
You know, not about women or men. It's not about that to me. It's about he was just proactively wanting to have a diverse, full conversation.
That is so awesome. And he's voting with his actions.
Yes.
And it turns also, like, with, I guess, with his money, because he has both male and female founders,
right,
I guess.
Right, right. It was really cool. Anyway, that was a bit off on a tangent, but I was really moved by it. And you know, it's, I think that's the kind of atmosphere that, like, Slush brings to the table, that he could be in this comfortable environment to be able to be so forthright like that.
Exactly.
So what's next for you?
So what's next for us is, so next year we're going to raise a bit bigger round of finance. That's the plan. And we're starting the monetization within the app. So it's the app will remain free, but there will be some stuff that you'll be able to purchase.
Cool.
So it's like, it's an important moment for a life of a mobile app. Let's put it that way.
How can people connect with you?
Well, through U app, for example. So if you download U app, U-app, you know, from the app stores, you can find me at Nelly Elina. So Nelly, put it down there.
N-E-L-L-I.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's not your username, right?
So my username is Nelly Elina, cool. But I'll send out the...
And are you on Twitter or any of that?
Yeah, it's the same username, Nelly Elina, okay. Or, okay. Or whatever. Okay.
All right, you guys, I will put all, I promise, it will all be in the show notes for you so that you could cyber stalk away. I think I mentioned this, but we're inside this funny, like, privacy booth at Slush in very close corridors, enjoying one another's company. It's been quite the experience.
Yes.
And yeah, we're good. And yeah, okay, so that was very funny. So, I'll put, include in the show notes how you can connect, and just thank you so much for spending the time.
Like, thank you, Esper, so much. Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
and thanks for putting up the show.
It's cool,
right? It makes all the difference.
I wanted to create a positive piece of content in the world to show everyone like what's possible, because I know that when I see an example that something can be achieved, then it makes me be like, oh, then I can do it too. Mm. And I wanted to do that for everyone. So, male, female, doesn't matter. Just I wanted a positive piece of content about women in tech to exist in the world so that we could continue to make solution-based actions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. If you want to connect further with the Women in Tech podcast, go to @WomenInTechShow on Twitter, or you could connect with incredible, incredible people on the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. As you know, this is Esprit Devora, and I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.